Talking Automotive. Thanks to Imlax, buyers of end-of-life vehicles. Go to imlax.com.au, LMCT 1229.
Talking Automotive with VACC CEO Jeff Gwillim. Jeff, before we get to your topic, you've got a new name.
Well, we have got a new name, Dennis. It's very subtle. We've moved from the Automobile Chamber of Commerce to the Victorian Automotive Chamber of Commerce, and it's a very subtle difference, but it's contemporary and it's about the next 100 years.
So we can still call you VACC?
Absolutely. Most people do anyway.
That is good news. Thank you for that. You wanted to talk about car theft, and on the news tonight, Ricky Ponting's car has been stolen.
Yeah, I missed that actually, Dennis, and look, that's sad to hear that. I don't know what sort of car it was. Was it a Porsche or something a bit sort of upmarket?
I'm not sure, but it was found, I think, in on the other side of town.
Ah, okay. Look, the information tonight comes from the National Motor Vehicle Theft Reduction Council, and they collect a whole lot of data around Australia, Dennis, but not much has changed in some circumstances here, so we still know that we're losing about 60,000 vehicles a year that get stolen. Now, a large proportion of those do get returned. They're joyriders, they're you know, kids that get into cars. Often, the keys have been left in the car. That's something we're still doing. We're doing it far too often. And those cars are recovered out of that 60,000 vehicles, 42,000 passenger and light commercial vehicles. That's a lot of cars, Dennis, either way. That's 42,000 passengers and light vehicles that get stolen.
And sometimes they're work vehicles, and the people are left without a livelihood.
Well, often they are work vehicles, and often the vehicle, if it's a ute or a trade sort of vehicle, they just take all the tools out. They abandon the vehicle because they're probably going to get found if they keep the vehicle. But 17,000 vehicles, Dennis, never surface. We never see them again. That's a lot of vehicles that either get chopped up for scrap by illegal operators, the parts are shipped overseas or the whole vehicle is shipped. All the vehicles are just taken apart and sold on, you know, public trading sites, and people just don't know. If they're not using a used car trader or a used parts trader, the public just don't know that they're getting ripped and they're actually buying parts off of somebody's car. Not always. But if they don't know where the origin of those parts are, then it's unfortunate. But those 17,000 vehicles are bundled up in there somewhere.
Why would people in leaving keys in cars in their garage?
They leave them in their garage. They leave them when they just jump in the shops, just duck in for 2 minutes. There's generally somebody watching them, and if it's a person that doesn't have a lot to lose and they just feel that they can get into that car and drive off, they're going to do that. The other thing is, Dennis, is that now this is a phenomenal fact, and I want your listeners to really focus on this. 70% of all cars that are stolen in Australia are stolen with the keys for the car. Okay?
70%.
That's a phenomenal amount of vehicles that are stolen with their keys. Largely because in the olden days, of course, when you could get a mangled up bit of metal or an old worn-out key and stick it in a car lock and get it going, those days are long gone. So unfortunately, what thieves often do now is they just pinch your keys. Is you've left them in the fruit bowl by the door, you've left them in the same place, you leave them every day, and people can see them through the window. They're sneak theft type activities, that's what they're referred to as. And you go to bed, and you don't even hear your car being started up, and often they'll just put the ignition on, let the handbrake off, roll it out of the drive. You won't hear a thing, and then they'll start it as it rolls down the road, and off they go. So, you know, the really critical thing here, Dennis, is we don't get people to stop leaving their keys in the open by an unlocked door. But we're not going to stop this number because the number's too high, far too high.
So we are, as a population, we're just making it too easy for the crooks.
Yeah, we are. We're asking for trouble. I mean, look, you could argue in the old days, at least they had to get a mangled up piece of wire and had put a bit of effort into it. Nowadays, it doesn't come to that. Another favourite, of course, is you steal somebody's keys and you don't steal the car. The person thinks they've lost the keys, they get the spare keys out, they drive the car for 2 weeks, then they steal the car when you're least expecting it. So they'll have a day, or certainly overnight, when you don't even know the car's there. But on all of these occasions, Dennis, we have made it easy. Now, these aren't commonly used, but there are devices that can be used by thieves to locate in your house roughly where those keys are. So if you've got a fob on a new car, that is sending out a little pulse, bing, 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 and it's checking your car's there. It's checking that you're not near the car because a lot of cars unlock themselves as you walk towards them now.
Yep.
But unfortunately, some electrical devices can pick that up, and these shady characters use that to try and locate more accurately where those keys are in your home.
Jeff, it's interesting, and I'll share a story of a fellow broadcaster after the break, but I'd love to hear from listeners. Have you been through this? Have you had your car stolen, perhaps, while you were sleeping? Your car stolen, you wake up the next morning, and your whole world is thrown upside down. 96900693 from the VACC, CEO Jeff Gwillim, taking your calls after these on 96900693. Kathy, good evening to you. You're speaking with Jeff Gwillim.
Hi, Dennis and Jeff. Look, I just wanted to... this is something that happened this week to my brother. He put his car in for a service, and they were keeping it overnight. And, I mean, anyone will take any opportunity. So he handed over the keys. The guy had somewhere behind the counter who keeps the keys, but he left my brother's on the counter. And went upstairs to do something, came downstairs, and when he was locking up, who couldn't find the keys to my brother's car. And so someone had just nipped in, stolen the keys, and then they waited for it to be shut up. And then they came in, broke the glass, and then drove out with my brother's Land Rover Discovery.
Oh, gee. Kathy, what you're pointing out there is exactly what's happening, and it's what Jeff was pointing out, is that there are people who are just waiting for the opportunity. I'm so sorry to hear that about your brother's Discovery. Jeff, Darren James from 3RW, he was on Victoria Street on his motor scooter. He stopped to go and get something. He walked into the foyer of the place he was going to and went, oh, my keys, went back, was gone. Was gone that quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't take much, Dennis, and as I say, somebody's always looking. But if I could just mention this, Dennis, for consumers that are buying in the private market, you need to go to the PPSR, which is a register of personal property register. It means that you can go and look at the bona fides of that vehicle. Now, if you're using a licensed vehicle trader, of course, they'll do all that for you. But you need to make sure, is there a loan against that car? Has that car been written off? Is there a bank that's got a lien on that car? You need to know whether there's debt against that car. And also, you need to make sure, through that register, has this car been written off before? Because it could be being rebadged as a new vehicle or a second-hand car that's drivable. But you've got to make these checks. My advice, of course, has to be, and it is, use a licensed car trader. But if you're not doing that, you need to be very careful, because these sharks, they're out there. These people that buy crashed cars, and they buy written-off vehicles and rebirth them with parts and other cars that they've stolen.
Good on you, Jeff. Jeff Gwillim, VACC CEO. Talk to you next Monday.
7 years ago, two university friends cooked up the biggest insider trading heist in Australian history. Over a few beers at a beach house on the Mornington Peninsula, they contrived to use yet-to-be-released government statistics to make a quick buck. One would make $7.8 million, the other just 20 grand. The Sure Thing, a true crime podcast from the Australian Financial Review. Subscribe now.